The Vietnam War, it's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to Better Cast Saul, the officially unofficial podcast for Better Call Saul on AMC. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just finished watching Season 4, Episode 2, titled Breathe. What'd you think of this one?
I tell you what, Gus comes with you with some basic warehouse supplies, Ziplocs, bags, zip ties, box cutters, hell, even a box.
Right.
You run in the other direction because the man does not fuck around.
He doesn't, no.
Like, that scene, like, it's so horrifying in simplicity. Like, you bag a dude, you zip tie his hands, and he's done. He's done. He's going to die slow right in front of you, and there's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. So, pretty horrifying, and reminder that Gus does not play.
No, and it's also a reminder, if you're standing there watching it, that you're now in deeper than you've ever been.
Yeah.
And that there is no way to get out of this one.
Right, right. When he says, you're mine, uh-huh. Like, it's not in a Valentine Day sense. It's
no.
It's like he owns you, like property.
Yeah, it was exciting. I thought it was exciting. Yeah,
there's
all
a couple
around.
Of like real, barn burning scenes, like Kim going hard mm-hmm. at Howard. Like, I felt that through the TV screen.
That's probably my favorite scene in the episode.
That was real crazy. And there's a lot of like funny stuff. Like, I really like Mike versus Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I ask you to reconsider. It's like, I'd say the same. And When she was talking to Gus on the phone, he's like, what am I supposed to do? Let him keep her stealing my employee badges? I'm almost like, well, you could maybe do a couple seminars on, like, not letting dudes steal your badges and, like, challenging people. Like, you could do the things that Mike's trying to outline. I guess I'm kind of surprised that Lydia was so anti-Mike and Gus is so pro-Mike. That seems stretching her neck out for Lydia, but maybe, I don't know, she's, like, trying to protect her turf.
I feel like she's very much, like, status quo. You know, she doesn't want to upset things. She doesn't want to change things. She just wants things to operate how they've always operated.
Right.
And Mike, while I personally agree that what Mike is doing both covers the trail better and also makes their business more secure, she probably isn't interested in that.
Right.
It's been working. Let's not touch it.
Yeah, don't rock the boat.
Yeah,
don't
that get sounds like guy. Bureaucracy to me.
Yeah. Don't get that the guy all spun up. There's also, like, I also got a kick out of the cousins, you know, the whole joke of the Johns Hopkins doctor there being like, hey, the best thing you do is to speak to him. And then, like, there's this long, and I thought, like, maybe that would be the joke, but when they tell the other guys, like, speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, but then, like, you could tell, like, there's that set of Nacho's jaw where, like, the last thing he wants to do is be an effective part of this fucker's treatment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that combined with his dad, the scene, I thought it was really powerful with his dad, like, you know, taking the dirty money and making his son take it and, you know, and then asking. Because I thought it was just going to be an ice cold deal where the dad just doesn't acknowledge him. But then, like, you know, he finally, I don't know. I don't know what Nacho's plan here. And whatever it was is probably out the window now that Gus owns him.
Yeah.
So
I don't think he had much of a plan beyond get Hector out of the equation.
Yeah.
And I think he thought all this would go away. It doesn't seem like that's the case.
No. I mean, I'm trying, like, I guess, do you think that Gus is actually funding this Johns Hopkins stuff?
Yeah, I think the grant came from him.
Okay, that's what I thought, too, that he's maneuvering things in the background to make this happen. Because the other thing, I was just really shocked that no one from the Salamanca, you know, I was expecting a Godfather situation where, like, he would be under, like, some sort of guard by his soldiers, but, you know, like, letting Victor and Gus's personal doctor. If you didn't remember, he's the guy who kind of patched. He's the guy who runs the kids clinic, the free clinic down in Mexico.
Yeah.
And he patched up Gus and Mike and I guess maybe Jesse if he needed it too.
After the Zaffiro Añejo
incident. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that they were allowed. Like it seemed almost like a plot hole. Maybe they called in the cousins for muscle, but like, don't you have like, you're talking about rolling tough on a street gang. You don't have enough muscle to like stand someone guard over your don, because that's, you know, if you want to insult the Salamancas, it seems like now's the time to do it. But
yeah, get Crazy Eight in there. You know?
Yeah,
throw him on.
He's
a door.
In jail. Oh no! Yeah, you're right.
I think
Crazy
he's
Eight.
Out.
Yeah, not Tuco.
No.
Not Tuco. Crazy Eight.
I wouldn't trust Tuco to guard him anyway.
But you got enough muscle to run off street gangs from your territories. You can get one or two guys for the Don. You know.
Yeah.
So and then like if you're like I guess when I said Godfather situation, of course Michael shows up and no one's there, but that's because the corrupt cops have just run him off. Like,
right.
You know, just fucking do homage if you want.
Yeah.
Lots of tent scenes of Victor walking down empty hallways.
And right. Have George Lucas edit it. It'll
yeah,
all be
sure.
Good.
Yeah, he'll find all the fat you trimmed and use it to build tension.
And then there's Jimmy, who in this episode is kind of a question mark still, you know?
Yeah.
Is he feeling guilty about the cons he's pulled on his brother, and so he wants to educate these dopes?
There's a combination of like maybe because the thing is he sold these guys like Jimmy would be an excellent copy salesman.
Absolutely.
But he did this kind of hair brain scheme. And it's like there is some kind of guilt here where he wants to earn it honestly, but he's not qualified to do anything honestly. So he's going to have to
but
try
he
to.
He is like, that's the thing. He's a good salesman. Right. He knows copiers. Like this right. is a good job for him. If he can't be a lawyer for a year.
You know, here's the thing, though. It seems pretty clear that he's going to try to steal the Alpine shepherd boy.
This is the job he calls Mike for.
Yeah, it's like $10,000.
What is Mike want with this job?
I don't know. I hope Mike says, go fuck. I'm making this every month.
Right.
After
for
taxes.
Sitting and watching lone gunmen or
like
whatever.
For going and fucking with people in warehouses.
Lone Ranger.
Right. I felt like it was so weird. But that, maybe there's an element of, like, Jimmy had to, like, he knows he's going to take advantage of these rubes, and, like, he calls him a sucker. He's almost, like, mentally hardening himself to, like, take advantage of them.
Huh. Okay.
But I don't know, because, like, that feels like a reach, but he did give that little statue a very good look over, and you see him look it up on eBay later, so, mm-hmm. or wherever he looked up this Hummel figure. So I don't know. It might be a little bit of like, I don't deserve this job if I can't get it straight. Not, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I wonder if guys like Jimmy realize how much chicanery goes into interviewing and resumes. And like, there's an acceptable amount of like inflating one's capabilities and getting by through bullshitting your way at their interviews and hoping people don't maybe take it too hard of a look on references and whatnot. But I don't know.
Is there maybe a bit of, like, him, the only real job he's had was at HHM, right? In the mailroom.
He's the copy
and there
boy.
He busted his ass, you know? He worked super hard. He got this online degree that he worked super hard to get, and then he somehow wasn't rewarded for it. Does he feel like he should not be rewarded for taking the easy way through this?
Hmm. I don't know. There's something, though, deeply psychological going on here, and him, like, not wanting anything to do with the estate, which is probably right on, because as we found out, it looks like it's Chuck's last attempt to hurt his brother.
Yeah.
Like, to give him the $5,000, like, I didn't forget you, motherfucker. I just cut you out of my will.
And this is Chekhov's personal letter, right? I mean, Kim files it away. It's going to come back and crush Jimmy.
Like, unless she does
seven
a full
episodes
on
from now.
Alfred and burns it on a silver platter right. after she reads it. Like, yeah. And I felt like that she filed it somewhere. Like,
she did.
I didn't see exactly what she'd been at. And, you know, will there be some plausible reason for Jimmy to be going through that later on? I don't know. Or maybe Jimmy will do something. Like, the other thing, I guess she could use it is, like, if Jimmy reveals himself to be an irredeemable shit this season, which it's on the table, mm-hmm. she could use that as its original purpose to just hurt him one last time. Be like, right. You know what? your brother was right about everything said about you, and here's his last words. He can say it to your face. That'd be pretty cool.
For right now, she's viciously defending him.
She is. And I think...
Which I like.
I think she's got the right of it. With the information mm-hmm. she has, this seems... And Howard should know better.
Yeah.
Like... I mean, but I don't know. On the other hand,
he's
like,
a self-obsessed guy, too, in a lot of ways.
He's such a pussy. He's uncomfortable with feeling anything but good about himself. Mm-hmm. And I see why he's doing, but like, yeah, Kim has the right of it. Like, how dare you? On the other hand, again, he's kind of like legally bound to do his duty as the executor, I suppose, of the will to convey these things. Like, what are you going to do? Just have the guy be like, you know what? This is his last will and testament, but I'm going to call an audible here. Shh, rip the thing up. Like,
right. That's not Howard's fault. They left him $5,000. And
no, but on the other hand, like,
but offering
I
the seat on the board, which, you know, is something that Kim points out, Chuck never would have wanted.
Yeah, I don't think Kim goes nuclear if that was the only thing.
Right.
Howard coming like a whipped dog wanting absolved. Because that's mm-hmm. the perfect thing. Like, these guys that, like, well, I just wanted him to know the truth. Like, did mm-hmm. you or did you just want to throw up? Did right. you want to vomit on someone so now that sick stomach feeling is their problem?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, I feel so much better. Oh, you're covered in vomit now. But, like, you know. And that makes – it kind of, like – puts a different spin on Jimmy being like, well, that's your cross to bear. It's like he caught it in the bucket and like handed it back to him. Like, nah, and like, I don't know. Cause like, I was really thinking a lot in the last week. Cause I had a couple friends like text me and we're talking about it. And I'm like, I really don't understand that. But this kind of puts it into like Jimmy, like maybe intuitively knew what was going on here. And just like, like, whether or not this is really bothering me, mm-hmm. I'm going to make a big show out of it not, because I don't want you to – I don't want you to win, you know? I don't want you
right. –
you want this reaction from me. I'm not going to give it to you.
Yeah. I just wonder what his plan going forward is, because he does kind of crack in this episode too. You can see
– sure.
You know, when he sits down with Kim to have Chinese food or Thai food, whatever they're having.
Whatever they decided. Yeah,
yeah, whichever one he got. There's a look on his face that doesn't quite say, hey, I'm cool with everything.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, that whole interaction with the copy thing, his like...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I wonder, like, what do you think he did all day? Because I bet...
He went out and he called them. I bet he went around town just conning people into and then getting and then un-getting jobs.
Well, see, I wonder, because, like, now with the Alpine Shepherd Boy scam, I wonder if, like, he really did follow up on those other calls, or if he just, like, started... I don't know. Like, because they showed him up bright and early. He had a whole day. We see one interview, and then he's on the eBay, and he's calling Mike in the middle of the night. Seems like another guy with like a scam caught between his teeth. I just don't know.
I'll tell him though, those asking prices, you need to look at the sold
yeah,
prices.
Right.
Recently
yeah.
sold, because yeah. you can ask whatever the hell you want.
You can ask
want.
Whatever you want. What's the buy it now price and what are these things selling for? Because
right.
that's, and pay attention to shipping.
Uh-huh.
Because they can really soak you on that. What else do we want to talk about?
I don't know. I guess I'm excited to see where Nacho goes from here, because I don't think he's done fighting, but also we know he can't like take out Gus, obviously. Mm-hmm. What could he do to get out of this? In my opinion, nothing. But what
Gus
are, what
can
are his...
help fake his death? Like,
I mean, I guess he could be some, he could have some hand in taking out Juan Bolsa. I guess that's the most. Mm.
No, he can't, because Juan Bolsa survives into the Breaking Bad era.
Right, but we don't know that Nacho is not alive then.
Oh, you're right.
We just don't ever see him.
So they have to do some kind of flash-forward business.
Maybe. It's like 5 years-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Did you...
He could be, you know, instrumental in deconstructing the Salamanca Empire. There's a lot of things that he could try doing here, but...
Did you see the interview with Bob Odenkirk about the gene timeline?
With his quote-unquote speculation.
Is it his speculation?
That stuff?
Or is he talking... Because I took it as him speaking for... And I'm wondering if it's... Is this something we should save for a slight spoiler section in the main podcast?
Mm.
Because, like, you know, it is speaking out of class, and I was surprised to hear him do it, honestly.
Right, and he talks as if he doesn't know it to be true.
Okay,
from everything I've heard.
So let's leave it. Let's leave it to the. But they're going to
talk about it in the main.
Yeah,
test.
We're going to have an interview with Bobbo. Well, we're not going to have an interview. We're going to be discussing an interview with Bobbo where he's doing some private speculation on the Gene shit. I don't know. He's an executive producer on the show.
I know it's really weird when actors and producers say,
right.
Oh, just speculating here, but maybe.
Yeah.
It's like
it's
okay,
one thing if it's just a main cast member, but he's like. You know, he's getting residuals on this shit.
Yeah, he knows what's up.
But he's probably not. He's not writing a script, so.
No.
Do you want to get to the audience participation? Because we do have some.
I think it's about time.
So this is the end of the instant take part of the podcast. Jim and I are going to now consider the people that are live participating in our thread, their questions and comments. If you want to get in on this action, it's real easy. Join the club, club.ballmove.com.